this event is really to try and just get everyone into the same room and have a chat and see, you know, share each other's perspectives.
Dennis Agar then went on to explain why Movement YVR's advocacy efforts were still important, even though this plan has already been approved by Vancouver City Council.
Anything can always be overturned, I would say. It just comes down to politics, right? That you put the right pressure on the right politician and things can be overturned. I've seen lots of transit projects be overturned at the last minute. You know, the Evergreen extension of the Millennium Line was going to be light rail until it was overturned. There was going to be 3 light rail lines in Surrey until it was overturned. And then it was, you know, SkyTrain. So anything can happen.
At the end of our conversation, Agar had this to say about public transit usage within MARPOL.
One thing I haven't mentioned to you yet, you'll hear it in the presentation, is that MARPOL is one of the highest transit-using neighborhoods of any neighborhood in Metro Vancouver. So basically behind, like, Joyce and, I think, Metrotown, MARPOL is number 3 for the highest level of transit use in Metro Vancouver. And that's remarkable, especially because a lot of people in MARPOL aren't that close to the Canada Line, right? Like, a lot of people are walking 25 minutes to the Canada Line if they're doing it, or they're getting on the 10 or the 100 on Granville, but it's so stuck in traffic that, you know, we would love to see more people walking and going near the shops on Granville, but they're only going to do that if the buses are more reliable.
As Agar had alluded to, members of the MARPOL Business Association who are opposed to this planned expansion were also in attendance. This included Claudia Leroy, the executive director of the Business Association, who also gave a presentation on why she believed that this transit plan and the street parking that it would remove would be bad for MARPOL's local businesses. After the event, we spoke with Leroy, who had this to say regarding her stance on the current planned transit expansion in the MARPOL neighborhood.
Our small business members depend on the local community and people coming to shop here. We are not against transit. We are against the doubling of removal of on-street parking for little gain for transit users and no actual increase in transit buses or service.
We then asked Leroy if there were any public transit upgrade models for the MARPOL neighborhood that she believes would be most ideal for local businesses.
Well, I think the spirit of Councillor Kirby Young's original motion that was adopted by council was for staff, city staff and TransLink staff, to find a balance between transit needs and business. And the proposals that we have been presented with by staff, both at the city and TransLink, only present one-sided proposals about servicing transit and speeding up buses to the detriment of the MARPOL community, to the detriment of the MARPOL small businesses that exist here, without any consideration or regard for ensuring the vitality of the small businesses and the commercial district and the pedestrian atmosphere for Granville Street. It's a very one-sided proposal, and we have been trying with staff and council to find the ways that we can work together so that it isn't completely one-sided and achieve the balance that is necessary to keep a local economy vibrant while also trying to improve transit, which our community does need.
While the Business Association of MARPOL is continuing their opposition on the proposed bus lane expansion, at the time of this recording, Vancouver City Council is still going forward with the planned bus lane expansion through the MARPOL neighborhood. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
This is Bird Note. Today, July 17th, is World Emoji Day, because that's the date on the little calendar emoji. These cartoon graphics can show everything from smiley faces and hand gestures to plants, hearts, and, of course, birds. In fact, some of those bird emoji were among the very first emoji ever made. Our modern emoji trace their roots to the 80s and 90s when PDAs and brick-shaped cell phones were first taking off. For most of the world, these devices could only display pixelated letters and numbers on black and gray screens. But in Japan, several electronics companies also designed small digital icons that users could type and share in texts. It's difficult to pin down the first true emoji, but two of the earliest adopters both included a bird in their emoji sets. In 1988, the Sharp Corporation published theirs with a rooster from the Chinese zodiac and added a generic bird a few years later. In 1997, the company SoftBank created its own set that included a very cute penguin. About a decade later, SoftBank partnered with Apple to launch the iPhone in Japan, complete with an emoji keyboard. That feature would go on to become standard on mobile devices worldwide, and now offers more than a dozen bird-related emoji to choose from. So on this World Emoji Day, let's celebrate the penguin, rooster, and all our emoji for the icons they are. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel.
Sword Swallower, Zendaya's Fortress by Devours from the smash hit record Sports Car Era. It's a smash hit around these parts anyway. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse, and I am now joined by two members of the Simon Fraser Student Society Executive? Is that correct?
Yes. Executive body.
Executive body. There we go. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Why don't you introduce yourselves and we'll go right into it.
Sure. Thank you. So my name is Albert and I am this year's VP of Events and Student Affairs.
And my name is Iago. I'm an old voice here sometimes, sometimes not. I am VP Equity and Sustainability for the Simon Fraser and Student Society.
Thanks for joining me, guys. Why are you here today? What's going on?
Okay. I'll let VP Vance introduce.
Okay, perfect. So today is our first large event, I think, for this executive team on campus. We are holding our Summer Pride Fest. This is something that we've been working on for a while. Iago first brought the idea to me because we wanted to see something in our calendar. We felt like there wasn't enough celebration of Pride Month, and we really wanted to have something on behalf of the executives here at SFU. So then we started collaborating, bringing ideas. I always wanted to see our student union building kind of brought more to life, you know, having more opportunities for student engagement through things such as activities and vendors. And I thought this would be the perfect opportunity to kind of bring that idea to life for the first time.
And it's very funny because I am a very focused person on information. We have two departments very important for us. We have two of them very directly related. We have Out on Campus and we also have the Women's Center. As VP Equity Sustainability, one of my jobs is to communicate with them and bring all the what we call constituents groups into our space of discussion. And seeing an opportunity to first bring information was what I wanted. I'm not very much an events guy. And this guy just brought me so many suggestions of how we could do it. I mean, I also eat a lot of ice cream. So I think that's how I started.
Yeah, the free ice cream, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
So you're telling me there's going to be ice cream at this event?
Yes.
There will be. Right. Yes.
There will be ice cream.
Yeah. We wanted to try and create, I think, as many opportunities to try and pull students into our student union building and help celebrate this event as we could. So today there will be free ice cream upstairs. There's also going to be a free jewelry workshop upstairs. And we have a free canvas painting like activity.
Cool.
The winner of which by student vote, like the best painting, will receive a gift basket put together with a bunch of different vendor items.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
And vendors.
And the vendors, of course. How can we forget? Yeah. The vendor list that we put together, I think, is super good this year. This was done in collaboration with Out on Campus. So we have a really good cast of vendors, I think. We also really wanted to focus on, obviously, bringing in student vendors and student alumni vendors to help support our students here at SFU. So I think, ultimately, seeing the cast we have upstairs, I'm really happy with the turnout.
Me too. And it fits so much our idea into bringing the student union building into life. I think a very funny thing is, for me, this conversation started here at CJSF. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the different ways that the student union building was built, the different infrastructure, and how different spaces were allocated to student groups, and how this could have been better, but also how we can move forward and make it better now, from now on, right? One of the ideas is try to bring more and more people into the student union building and make it look like an event space more than necessarily a studying space, right? And that's a great first step, bringing student vendors back into the scene and bringing the information during an event that is always celebrated, and we want to make sure that it's in our calendar for every year from now on.
Is that sort of that desire to bring people into the space, is that what led to the idea of like a fair as the way to celebrate, or is that related to that?
Yeah. I think that there's multiple ways that we want to do that this year. Obviously, this kind of becomes like a bigger discussion of how we want to use our subspace. But this is definitely the first step. We want to create an environment that, you know, feels alive. You see students having fun, meeting new people, and enjoying being in this space. I think in recent years, it's kind of gotten quite quiet around the student union building. So this was just like the first opportunity for that. And obviously, you know, we wanted to celebrate Pride Month, and we was like, you know, it lined up perfectly that we you can do both at once. But this is going to be kind of a thing that we're continuing to look at over the year. This isn't going to be our first and only event in the Student Union Building. This is the first step on like many things to come.
And I think it's the last piece. It's something that I've been reading a lot on. It's how to make social activism into something more alive for people. And it becomes with relating it to culture and to people and to food, right? Mm-hmm. Building community and looking from the space of community, how people feel more alive, how they feel like they deserve to be in certain spots instead of following a monotonous life. And yeah, I think that's one of in the many that we want to do in terms of like a action calendar of like days of activism and merging information and important aspects of student advocacy with cultural and also just celebrational events.
I think especially at sort of this life stage for students, there's so much opportunity to take part in something that you might not necessarily think is related to a cause or activism, but it's just sort of fun and interesting and to sort of find your way into it through through that avenue, right?
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. And one author that I can mention that I've been reading is Adam Matt. He's very famous for being part of the AJR. AJR is a very big pop band right now, especially between teenagers, and they're kind of revolutionizing the activism space related to environmentalism. They are trying to merge music with bringing people into advocating for the environment and for what they want to see in terms of climate and climate advocacy against climate change. So, yeah.
Cool. So you've mentioned ice cream, you've mentioned painting, you've mentioned beading. Is there anything else that you want to shout out about today's event that you think might interest people or you know, make them sort of push them over the edge to decide to come visit the Pride Fair?
Okay. Did we cite everything?
I think we touched on like the main aspects of the event, but I think that the big thing that kind of wants to encourage people to come out to this event for is just the community that we're trying to build here. I think that what we're trying to do here today, as mentioned by Iago, as we discussed, is kind of like, you know, it's a smaller, fun event, but kind of for bigger causes, both for Pride Month, and also for, you know, as our student community to kind of help build that student life experience for them. So yeah, I'd say come for the people.
It's summer.
Yeah.
I think summer is a great reason, right?
Totally.
A lot of students have less on their calendars. They are trying to rest. And I don't think there is nothing better to rest with some free things from your student community, right? A chance to paint. I think it's such a beautiful day outside. You can find a lot of great spots if you just want to look at them, at the general picture of SFU and their buildings, look at it with a different eyes, but also do anything, right? It's a creative space.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there is something, or there can be something very therapeutic about, well, making any art, painting, beading, like regardless of your skill level, just the action of doing it and going out there and contemplating and having to think about what you want to accomplish or just sort of letting it happen. Either way, you have this experience that you might not get in your day-to-day student life otherwise, right?
That's true. And if you're a student artist or just general artist of our community and you're interested in, for example, being part of these events, it's just one of the first vending opportunities. You can see the space. You can see how we're going to be building up momentum for a bigger one later on in September. So,
yeah.
Great. Well, the fair starts in 8 minutes, I think.
Yes.
11 o'clock. When does it go until?
It 6 p.m.
6 p.m., so
yes.
All day?
Yes. But although a lot of the activities will be ending around 2, 3 p.m., so I'd encourage students to come out hopefully before later in the afternoon.
Cool. And it's on the third floor of the Student Union Building?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Is there anything else you guys think people should know about the event or other stuff you got going on you wanna plug?
I think that I can just put some more emphasis on our departments. We have very great resources in our community. If you'd like to find more about yourself or, for example, understand how you can be an ally to the LGBTQI+ community. I think that's a great spot for it.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I do have to do an obligatory plug as the VP event. But there are going to be a lot of great things coming in the fall for our students. We have a really, really packed fall semester coming up. We have a lot of really exciting events. So if students want to stay in touch, the best way to do that would be through our SFSS events page on Instagram. And I'd encourage people to keep their eyes open and get excited for what we have coming up.
Cool. And you can always come back here and just share with our listeners as well. We're happy to have you back anytime there's anything going on.
Thank you.
Albert, Iago, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for inviting
me. Thank you.
Jess.
Pleasure meeting you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. And we'll see you up at the Pride Fair. That was Albert and Iago from the Simon Fraser Student Society telling you about the Pride Fair, which is happening almost right now in 7 minutes and 20 seconds from 11 to 6 today. But as they said, get there early if you want ice cream and other fun activities. That's about it for this episode of Speak Up. It looks like, yeah, we got, well, I was just saying 7 minutes and 20 seconds. We're going to hear some music for the rest of the show, starting with another local favorite. This is the Houseplants with their track Hypocrite. And then maybe we'll hear something else, but up next is Democracy Now! So thanks for hanging out with me this hour. I, once again, encourage you to go come up to campus, or if you're already on campus, head over to the Student Union Building and check out the SFSS Pride Fair. Until next time, I'm Jesse, and this is The Houseplants.
told you I'm afraid the change you went away. I pity the version of me who carved my name into that tree. I hate the way I left it. I took the weight and let you walk. You say I'm manifested, but I know the power gets you off. Maybe I'm just a manic pixie pacifist. At the real other life that you've been living in, just a step.